Bhajan Rahasyam Shastayam Saran. This is the explanation and commentary of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on Shikshastagam. Nayanam Galadashudarya Padanam Gadgara Uriyagira Pulakar Nichitam Babu Kada Tavagraha Grahane Bhavishyati. He's talking about symptoms that come at the level of bhava. And there's four verses here where he's discussing the different aspects of bhava. And here he's trying to introduce the idea that the gopi's bhava, this is the greatest, the highest expression of bhava. And in this verse, he cites a verse by Uddhava from the Brahmar Gita, where he's saying that the gopis love, although they're simple village girls, it's so grand that even Lakshmi Devi, what to speak of the devis, the celestial demigoddesses, or any woman of this world, they can't even approach the toenails of the gopis, as is told in the Radha Kripa Kataksha. Parasiti Riddhi Digda Satpadangalinake Kadakrishi Siyamam Kripa Kataksha Bhajanam. The Radharani is glorified, even Radharani's toenails, Aparasiti Riddhi Digda Satpadangalinake Padangali. From the toenails of Radharani, there's Riddhi. Riddhi means wealth, opulence, money, more than Lakshmi could even imagine, even dream about. And Siddhi, there's Siddhi and Riddhi. Siddhi is mystic perfections, and Riddhi is opulence, wealth, and position. All of that is just some glimmer from Radharani's toenails. That can be attained just from the toenails of Srimati Radharani. What to speak if you get her lotus hand is blessing you. What you can get from her hand. From her toenails you can get all Riddhi and all Siddhi. Siddhi and Riddhi. Siddhi means the eight mystic perfections. And Riddhi means all kinds of wealth and wealth, power, and position. And so Lakshmi, she doesn't have this power. So the acharyas say that with all Lakshmi's, what all her influence is, it's not even equal to a ray of Radharani's toenail. So this verse, Uddhava is understanding that and glorifying them in a series of prayers that he was always speaking every day while he was here. There's many prayers at the end of chapter 47. This is verse 60. And the commentaries, Jiva Goswami is explaining that because there's Narayan, there's Lakshmi, there's Krishna, there's Radha, there's Sita, and there's Ram. There's Shakti and Shaktiman. There's the energy, the energetic. So there, because often people say Narayan is God or Krishna is God, and they can't understand the difference. And so the difference is not so much in tattva, because they're both Vishnu tattva, but it's the expression of the degree of that tattva, and the real difference is in the ras. So this is being told by Jiva Goswami. In tattva, Sri Krishna and Narayan are non-different. And the most affectionate Lakshmi Devi, who continually sports on Narayan's chest, is his Swarup Shakti. But she also resides in Krishna's chest, on Krishna's chest, as a golden line. So she is never separated from him. Why then are the moods of the gopis glorified over hers? So then Jiva Goswami resolves this, because you can say, well, Lakshmi is also there. The gopis are only there half the day with Krishna. Half the day is with the coward boys, and half the day is with them. So they can't be with Krishna 24 hours. But Lakshmi is with Krishna 24 hours. Just like your fingernails are with you all day and night. They don't go anywhere. They're always there. So the golden line, it's always there, whether Krishna is awake or asleep or wherever he is. So what's the answer? He resolves, although Sri Krishna and Narayan are non-different in tattva, Sri Krishna's lila, pastimes, are filled with astonishingly excellent rasa, and they're embellished with beautiful effulgence. It's so attractive that even Lakshmi is interested. Lakshmi is only engaged in meeting with Narayan, sambhog ras. But the gopis sometimes engage in milan, or meeting, and sometimes in separation, viraha. This is the difference, because there's no question of the husband ever being separated from the wife. They're always together. But the paramore, we don't know. Will they meet? They may not meet for 2 or 3 days or for a week or whatever. There's no guarantee that they'll meet. So Krishna's whole relationship is, it's not guaranteed. It's not for sure with the gopis. It's uncertain. It's an uncertain relationship. It's not fixed. So that separation is there. There's no separation in the marriage of Lakshmi Narayan. Lakshmi is Narayan's beloved who sports on his chest, Bhakshya Vilasini. But the gopis are not merely Krishna's beloveds, but they delight in the rasa of amorous pastimes endowed with paramour love, parakiya bhav. Thereby they expand the sweetness of love in a very special way. Brijendranandan Shyamasundar, his opulence or majesty and his madhurya or sweetness only manifests in their topmost form when he's with the Brajadevis. Eagerly desiring this madhurya, Lakshmi also desires to meet with Krishna. It's interesting, you never hear the gopis desiring to go to Vaikuntha. You never hear the gopis desiring to have the opulence or the position of Lakshmi Devi. They're fully, because they realize that they have more opulence than Vaikuntha or anything. And they glorify that in the Venu Gita. They say, we're living in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is much more glorious than Vaikuntha, what, any place. Why? Because Krishna's footprints are here. Everywhere we walk in Vrindavan, we can see Krishna's footprints, his charan chinna, here or there. But you'll never find Narayan's footprints in Vaikuntha. Maybe in the bathroom, I don't know. But there's so much water there, they don't last, you know, they wash away. Because he never goes barefoot anywhere. Maybe he wears bathroom shoes also, I don't know. Can't say. But Krishna, he never wears shoes. He's everywhere going barefoot. So Sanatana Goswami says that the animals, in his Tikkun Bhavatam, the animals are so respectful and they don't step on his footprints. When they're running, the tigers are chasing someone or whatever they do, they're running, and as soon as they see Krishna's footprints, oh, it's like the shadow of Tulsi or the shadow of a Brahmin or a cow. You don't step on the shadow, you go around it, you avoid it, you circumvent it by going around the shadow. It's an offense. So in the same way, step on Krishna's footprints is a big offense. Even the tigers know that. And the deer and the elephants and birds. And so Krishna's footprints, and you can imagine how expert the cows must be. Because there's 9 lakhs of cows walking around Vrindavan, and they make sure they don't step on any of Krishna's footprints. So they must be very agile cows, very sure-footed cows. They're walking, oh, there's Krishna's footprint, and they go like this and like this, not to step on them. So the gopis are in a very special position, Lakshmi's desires. However, the gopis' one-pointed steady devotion is not present in Lakshmi. In Naralila, it's interesting, they say, because another name for Lakshmi is Chanchala. Chanchala means here, there, like a lightning bug. These little glowworms, they make light, and then they're over here in the nighttime. They fly around. Light is there. You don't know where it's going to be next. So they're Chanchal. So Lakshmi, or another name is Chanchal. So it's very interesting that even in her relationship with Lakshmi, she's with Narayan, she's Chanchal. Sometimes she's with Narayan, sometimes she leaves him. But the gopis are not Chanchal. They're Nishta, Krishna Nishta. Eka Krishna Nishta. Eka Krishna Nishta means they're fixed, one-pointed in Krishna. They're not thinking, oh, now we're with Krishna. Oh, but we'd like to, would be nice, we should go to Narayan Loka, do austerity. We should do some tapasya. We should worship some god so we can go to Narayan Loka. No, they don't care. So this is another point of difference. In Naralila, Sri Krishna belongs to the caste of the gopis, cowherds. Because Krishna considers himself a gopa, his beloveds are naturally the daughters of gopas. And only they can be his beloveds. Sri Lakshmi did not want to assume the body of a gopi. She was unable to take birth in the home of a gopi, marry a gopa other than Krishna for the sake of entering Parakiya Bhav, associate with the Nityasiddha gopis, and give up her identification as a Brahmani. This is why she's unable to meet with Krishna. Of course, that Leela is there. maybe Brahmavart Puran, or it's told this Leela of Krishna went to Balvan, because Lakshmi Devi is sitting in Balvan doing tapasya. And one day Krishna wandered over there just to see what she was doing. She was sitting in Padma Asan and she was praying to Bhagavan. So then Krishna came there and said, "Lakshmi, hey, Lakshmi, what are you doing?" And she opened her eyes because she was deep in meditation, praying, super soul or whatever. "Ah, I want to get you. I want to attain you. I've been praying and meditating, doing all this tapasya under this bale tree, hoping and praying for the chance to engage in rasa dance with you and to serve you." And he said, "All right, that's what's the problem? You know, you can join. You can come tonight. I just have a small examination. You have 8 questions you have to answer. If you answer these 8 questions, then you can join the rasa dance." It may take you 36 pages to answer them. So he asked the questions one by one. He said, "Listen, I don't have, you know, I'm always looking for new girlfriends. And you know, you qualify because you're married. Because no one can be my girlfriend unless they're married. I don't like any kanyas or any unmarried girls. They're no fun. So I really want married ladies." Right? So you qualify, you're married, so that's one good thing. That's why I'm even giving you the examination paper. So she said, "All right, shoot, what are the questions? I'll try." There was an oral examination. So first, Krishna said, "Listen, do you mind taking birth from the womb of these will be yes or no questions, and except sometimes they'll fill in the blank. Lakshmi Devi, do you mind taking birth from the womb of a gopi, a braja gopi, and becoming a abhira caste, a vaishya?" "What? Take birth from a, what do you mean, become a vaishya? I mean, I'm a brahmani. Acha tike. Just relax, calm down. Now the second question, okay, so you don't want to do that. The second question is, do you think you would know how to do, or would you be able to, like, you know, milk the cows, you know?" And she said, I don't know. I've never seen that done. I don't know anything about that. I mean, our palace servants say, just bring milk to the storeroom and I prepare some burfi for my husband. And I don't know. I've never been out to the goshal, actually. I'm not so familiar with that. Acha, do you think you could learn? She said, "No, I don't think so. Acha, tika." Okay, third question. Now, you know, the cows, after they eat all the busa and the grass and grains, then of course they have to, after you eat, then the gober comes, you know, the cow patties come. So will you be able to collect those and mix some boost in them and roll them? You see our gopis too. They collect the boost and then, I mean, they collect the gober, the cow dung, then they mix some right amount of boost inside, then they roll it, then they knead it, and then they put it together, then they shape it, and then they stack it like this for one day, then it dries on the other side, then they flip it back. Will you be able to make cow dung patties for cooking my rotis, so Yashoda can cook my rotis? Are you kidding? Do you see my fingernails? Look at my fingernails. You think I'm going to get cow dung under these fingernails? I spent hours manicuring these fingernails. So it goes like this. So Lakshmi, unfortunately, she only had one qualification to be Krishna's consort, and that was that she was married to Narayan. That she was already married. Otherwise, she failed every single question. She didn't answer. She couldn't answer. And the same pastime is told in another Purana where Yogamaya comes, seeing her sincerity. Because Yogamaya's duty is to check the sincerity of the sadhaka in Braj, and then to test him. And if he passes the test, she gives the introduction to Krishna's Leela. She removes the covering and allows him to see Leela and enter the Leela. This is Yogamaya's duty. So Yogamaya did the same thing. She came and interviewed Lakshmi Devi. And she again failed. 2 times she failed the exam. So maybe, I don't know when the next sitting for the exam is, but she's over there in Bailvon. If anybody wants to coach, give her some tuitions or some coaching, they can try to preach to her that cow dung is not that bad, and maybe bring a cow over there and teach her how to milk a cow or something. You know, gradually she can get some of the skills. Bhagavan Narayan ki. Lakshmi Narayan Bhagavan ki jai. So she couldn't give up her identification as a Brahmani. That is why she is unable to meet Krishna. So this is all about upadhi. And the Padma Purana says Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikenam Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. So this is the foundational verse of Rupa Goswami's explanation of pure devotion. Anyabhi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adyanavritam Anukliyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So this, there was a covering, the ego, the upadhi. There was an upadhi, a designation. She was living with designations. Even Lakshmi was attached to her designations, attached to her identity, attached to her position. And these attachments prohibited her from entering Brajabhav and Gopi Bhav. I'm a Brahmani. I'm wealthy. I'm prestigious. I'm clean. And I'm a queen. Now, why should I follow some abhira, some coward lady? I want to enter the rasa dance, but she wasn't willing to submit herself. No submission, no permission, no permission, no admission. So she wouldn't submit herself to the gopis. So then she could not get admitted to the rasa dance. The rasa dance basically means entering Krishna's heart, because in the rasa dance in Vrindavan, the reason that rasa dance is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is a lila of Krishna, and Shukamuni could have presented Julan lila, which is also a very intimate sambhog lila of the Lord, or holy lila, which is very sweet. But there is some limitation in these lilas. Not all the rasas are there. But in this ras lila, it's called ras lila. Why? Because all 12 rasas are there. All 12 rasas are experienced. Krishna experiences all the rasas, all the gona and mukhi rasas, there in the association of the Braja Gopis at the night of the Maharas dance, which is tonight. Tonight is Maharas Purnima, Ashwina. This is Ashwina Maina, the last day of Ashwina Maina, and tomorrow starts the first day of Kartik, Ekam. And this is the full moon night of the Sharad season. This is it tonight. And the moon will be up all night until about 3 o'clock, 3:30. It sets, and this is the night that Krishna gathered all the gopis at Vamshivat, and chapter 29 through 33 in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So you may read those chapters today and think about these things, and then go up, read them during the afternoon and evening, then go up on the roof of your kutir at night and sit down and look at the moon and try to reflect on all these things and bathe in the moon rays and travel on the moonbeams. Moon travel. Travel on the moonbeams, and the moonbeams may carry you to the banks of the Jamuna, at Yamuna Pulina, Rasastali. Because it's going on right now, and the only thing separating us from Krishna's Leela is our Lakshmi Bhav, our upadhi, our designations. Our designations are separating from Krishna's Leela. Aham Ameti. I am this, and this is mine. Ahamameti. So this is why she was unable to meet with Krishna. Bhagavatam says 10:47:35. Yata durachare prishte mana avishyap vartate strinam cha na tata cheta sani krishte krishi gochare. When her lover is far away, a woman thinks of him more than when he is present before her. I guess this is the basis for the common expression, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now, this is a Sanskrit shloka from Brahmar Gita, chapter 47. And Vishwanath Chakravartipad comments on this, saying, the lover's heart is more attached to the beloved when she is far from him than when she is living near him. Due to this, although Lakshmi perpetually sports on Narayan's chest, The glories of her good fortune are less than those of the gopis, because Lakshmi is never separated from Narayan. But as we mentioned, the gopis are always, these are two features of this Braj Leela. The separation nourishes the meeting and enhances and fills the meeting with separation fills the meeting of Krishna and the gopis with great thrill and excitement and adventure, and intensifies the ras and intensifies the pleasure that Krishna feels and derives from being with the Braja gopis. Separation is very positive and very powerful and very necessary for Braja Leela to reach the highest levels of ecstatic bliss. And it's all missing in Vaikuntha. The Ras Leela is a crown jewel amongst all of Krishna's pastimes. Sanatana Goswami says, Rasa Parama Rasa Kadamba Maya Vrati Yogik Artha. The Rasa dance is the supreme Vras. Supreme Rasa is that in which there is a relationship with the supreme object. The Rasa Leela does not take place in this world, in this material world, because this is not the material world, nor in the heavenly planets. In Dwarka, where there are 16,108 queens, the Rasa dance is a possibility. So it's a possibility. But it doesn't take place there either. Nor does it take place in Bhagavan's other abodes, such as Vaikuntha. The Rasa Leela only manifests in Vrindavan, and the Braja Ramanis are its participants. The main fountainhead of this pastime, the main fountainhead of this Ras Leela, is Vrishabhanu Nandini. She is the, as the analogy is used, she is the binding link in the chain. Whenever you have a chain, there's one link, there's one metal piece that joins. There's all these little segments of a chain, bicycle chain, motorcycle chain, whatever. And they're all the same. But then there's one that's shaped a little bit differently and it joins the two pieces together. It's a coupling or join. And you pull that off, then the chain comes apart, and then you can do whatever, clean it or do whatever you have to do. So that binding link in the chain and all those gopis, what held them all together was the presence of Srimati Radharani. As soon as Radharani left the Rasa dance, the chain fell apart. Ras Mandala stopped turning, stopped, nothing was it, nothing going on, because there was no meaning anymore. It can be thousands of gopis. Padma Puran said at this particular Maharas dance there were 3 million gopis. Without Radharani it was 3 million zeros. If you have 3 million zeros in your bank account, it doesn't amount to very much, it doesn't mean very much. What's your bank account? 000. But if there's a one in front of it, then it has a lot of... So that one is Radharani. She is the one. The one and only for Krishna is Radharani. Eka Krishna Nishta. The one and the only one. In extreme joy, Sri Shamsundar floats and becomes submerged in the waves of the ocean of prema that are found in the supreme festival of Ras Leela. To protect himself from the towering waves of the gopis' charming behavior and sidelong glances in this vast ocean of prema, he clutches the necks of the gopis and rests himself upon their breasts. So this is, if you've ever been in the ocean, you're drowning. Generally, if someone comes out to save you, they put their arm around your neck and save the person. So Krishna... That's why this verse was saying, this in 10th canto in Prabhupada's Krishna book. It's explained in the Ras Leela that when Krishna was dancing in the Rasa dance, he put his arm around the necks of the gopis. Everyone must have heard that. He put his arm around the necks of the gopis. So that's what people do. A man or a woman, they walk, they put arm around the neck, on the shoulder. So the acharyas, Vishnath is saying, he was drowning. That's why he put... Why did he put his arm around their neck? Because he was drowning. Blah, 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 blah. He was drowning in the ocean of Ras. The ocean of Madhurya Ras, he was up to his neck and going under. So then he took shelter of the gopis. And they have some built-in flotation, like some built-in flotation units to keep them afloat. Like these little kids, they get these little balls they tie behind their back, some kind of little foam thing or something, and they go in the water and it keeps them up. So Krishna was taking advantage of the speciality of his gopis to stay floating in the ocean, in the billowing waves of the ocean of prem. A very beautiful imagery. Of course, it's slightly erotic, but this is the Bhagavatam, and this is the Krishna book that was given to us in 1969, 39 years ago. It was Prabhupada's Atom Bomb of Bhakti. The Atom Bomb of Bhakti. There's three Atom Bombs, actually. When it first came out, it was called the Krishna Book Trilogy. So they made it trilogy because in that period of time, in the late 60s and 70s, this Tolkien, J.R. Tolkien or something like that, he had something called The Hobbit or something, called the famous book. All young people around the world in English were reading it. I don't remember. So we came out with our Krishna Trilogy, because I remember distributing them. The three books, three little blue books, paperback. The set, the Krishna set. And then it was published in silver, big edition, silver books in Japan, Dai Nippon. Now you can get it one volume everywhere, one volume. So this is Prabhupada's Atom Bomb. Being especially insightful, Uddhava foresaw the marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. Rukmini is famous in this world as Hari Priya, the beloved Hari. Nevertheless, she did not attain even a cent of the Brajagopi's good fortune. How then could it be possible for the other queens of Dwarka and the heavenly goddesses? The Brajadevis are completely capable of controlling Krishna. The pinnacle of Mahabhav, Madanakya Bhav, endowed with Samartavrati, this is a special, complete, pure attachment and pure love that the gopis have, total selflessness to please Krishna. This is the meaning of the Brajasundaris. And this type of bhav, only Radha has this. And she is the main source of pleasure in the Madhurya Ras. All the other gopis are like ingredients for Ras. So they're ingredients. And then Radharani mixes them all together. Then she presents all those ingredients in a most tasty presentation. Perfect. The word Brajasundari refers to Radha's love, her elegance, her erudition, her virtuous nature, her good qualities, her skill in dancing and singing, and great wealth of beauty. So these are attributes that are contained. When we say Sundari, Sundari means very beautiful. And so we say Braja Sundari. So Braj means moving. So moving in this land of Vrindavan, there's someone very, and Sundari is female, so there's some female personality that's very beautiful. But what is beautiful? Certain characteristics, certain character traits make a person beautiful. Not only physical design or shape or texture, but all these, Radha's love. Radha's love makes her beautiful, makes her a Sundari. Radha's elegance, her poise and her demeanor, her elegance, her way of moving, her way of looking and holding her head and moving, it's very elegant. That's Sundari. And her erudition means her learning, her skill. She knows so much. She's such a great conversationalist. It's wonderful to spend hours and hours with Radharani and talking to Radharani. She's very interesting. She knows about birds and she knows so many things. And Krishna enjoys so much talking with her. And she can compose poetry on the spot. And Krishna can, whatever Krishna says, she can counterpoint it. And he speaks some Sanskrit. She can speak Sanskrit. He plays a flute. She plays a veena. So she is the ideal, mate for Krishna. It's like holding a mirror up to yourself, looking for the perfect match. And you say, oh, there's the perfect match. Oh, that's me. So Radharani is a mirror of Krishna's heart. Krishna's darpan is Radharani. This chit darpan, the mirror of his consciousness, is Radharani. So always, everyone in the world always likes to be by themselves. We always like ourselves. No one ever has arguments with them. Do you ever argue with yourself? we're all embodiments of perfection, joy, happiness. But as soon as we mix up with anybody, that's when the trouble starts. If we could all be independent, have just food dropped in the chimney and have water come in the chimney and not have to do anything, then we would all be like Atmaram. But as soon as you have to interact, because we're social beings, or at least it seems that we're forced that way, then all the trouble starts. And they have phrases like, no man is an island, but we are in one sense, we're somewhat insular. But so this is Sundari, her erudition is so wonderful. Virtuous nature, she's very pure and has all virtue and good quality. And then what to speak of Sundari also means like someone's dancing very wonderfully. Oh, what a beautiful dancer. Like dancing is like the very wonderful expression of beauty. The mudras, the steps, the timing, the rhythm, everything can be, the emotions can be displayed in dance. And then singing. Her name is Gandharvika. Gandharvika means one who taught the Gandharvas how to sing and dance. The Gandharvas and Gandharvikas of the heavenly planets, or in Gandharva Loka, they've just studied some textbooks written by Radharani. She's written some textbooks on singing and dancing. Radharani is self-taught. She's self-taught. Like sometimes you meet someone, how did you learn how to play guitar or harmonium? I taught myself. I have a good ear and I taught myself. Really? Yeah, I just... means last life they have some experience. So Radharani is self-taught. All the 64 arts manifested automatically in Radharani. She didn't go to any school to learn them. But Krishna had to go to her school to learn the arts that she had mastered already. The arts that Radharani mastered at birth, Krishna had to take another birth to learn them. He had to appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and enroll in the school of Prema. He had to learn how to be a Sundari. He was a Sundar, but not a Sundari. He was Shyamasundara, but not Ati Sundari or Braja Sundari. So he had to go to the school of Lalita and Vishakha, Ramananda Roy, and then Gadadhar was also teaching Radharani's counterpart and Gaur-lila. So in this way, Krishna could learn what does it mean to be a Braja Sundari, because he was mystified by Braja Sundari Radha. How is she so elegant? How is she so erudite, so demure and so beautiful? Such a dancer, such a singer, I've never seen or never could imagine. When Krishna plays his flute, Radharani starts playing her veena in time. And she plays in such a way, they have competition. And she's playing like this. And it gets to a point where finally Krishna drops his flute. He says, I can't match you. I can't keep up with you. And he goes, oh, I surrender. And dancing, forget it. Sometimes they dance together, and then Radharani spins off from Krishna. Then Krishna dances and tries to show, and everyone's watching. All the gopis, are continually dancing in a circle, and Radharani's standing there. The gopis are all dancing around Radha and Krishna, all the gopis, and then Radharani's just standing there, and Krishna's dancing around Radharani. This is the center. There's two circles: the Radha Krishna circle, and the Braja Gopis mandala. So Radharani's there, not very good. So then Krishna tries more. And then Krishna says, all right. Then he comes and stands there. And she starts dancing, Gandharvika Radha. Then Krishna, he says, okay. He goes to touch her feet, you know. Submission, dasosmi. So this is Braja Sundari. So this word is being used here in this verse from the 10th canto. And this is a verse that's been included here. Labdashisham yad udagad brajasundarim. He's saying that what these qualities that in the Rasa festival, Sri Krishna embraced the brajasundaris around their necks with his vine-like arms, thus fulfilling their heart's desires. Even Lakshmi, who eternally resides on his chest, does not attain this mercy. He is also not attained by the most beautiful girls of the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and fragrance resemble the lotus flower. What to speak of other beautiful women? So this is a verse where Uddhava, who has learned everything, he went to the heavenly planets to study all the sciences with Brihaspati. He was directly taught by Brihaspati, which is rather unusual because it's very rare that Brihaspati ever teaches directly. usually his students. If anyone goes to learn from Brihaspati, they learn from his students. It's like enrolling in a college and having the dean come and teach you personally. Usually the dean of the school doesn't teach the students. He's an administrator or organizer. So appreciating the incredible knowledge and experience and culture of Uddhava, then Brihaspati was rather happy to one-on-one instruct him. So he learned so many things. So he saw what was, firsthand, he saw what was going on in the heavenly planets. This is Uddhava. He saw the heavenly damsels. He saw them. And he studies from Shastras. So then he's saying that this fortune that Vrajasundari has received has never been received by any heavenly damsels, any ladies of heaven, even Lakshmi, or even what to speak of other beautiful women on this earth planet, or like nothing compared to these two. So he's glorifying the gopis and with great eagerness and trying to establish for the whole, in the minds of everyone in the world, about the gopis' prema madhurya. And what is the difference? Because many people are aware of Lakshmi Devi, and in South India, the furthest extent they can accept Krishna worship is the worship of Rukmini and Dwarkadish. Krishna and Dwarka, Vasudeva Krishna, but Mathura Krishna and Vrindavan Krishna, they can't entertain that. Even Madhvacharya, he's telling in his writings that the Brajagopis were apsaras from heaven. He doesn't accept that they're the Surup Shakti of the Lord. The Surup Shakti of the Lord is Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi is Surup Shakti, Ladini Shakti. So this is a very esoteric point, but Uddhava is establishing quite clearly the preeminence of the gopis' bhav and this whole Bhajan Rahasyam, because Kamala Mandri Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Mandri, obviously. He is directing those that are interested to approach the gopis, because they are the topmost personalities in this level of love. So this verse is to promote our understanding of bhava. And there's four verses here, 22, 23, 24. And we still have a few more to go. The verse tomorrow also explains the super excellence of the gopis' bhava.